And it says, in such county or city, in the event that the assessor fails to provide sufficient evidence to establish that the physical evidence was performed in accordance with section 137-115, the property owner shall prevail on the appeal as a matter of law. I mean, it was residential. It got shifted to commercial. We have people that owned some for over 24 years that we've dealt with. And this automatically got switched to commercial. So,
it wouldn't have been automatically. We would have had something that says that they've been renting or...
Right. What changed is that they went to nightly rent, or that they started using nightly rent. That
right.
No, but like the gentleman we talked to in Point Royale, who'd been renting for...
He wasn't reporting.
He did report some. And he was residential. It got shifted to commercial. And when... I just have a question. When did notices go out stating that...
Do you want to let Tim go for this? Tim, do you... If you... I was just going to offer it. I know we're going through some things up here as a board. Do you want to stay?
No, it's helpful to just...
Okay, go ahead.
Here's the thought process.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's in context to this, and I mean, it's not like we're making... I mean, we're not making a decision right now, but this is where the dialogue is.
Right.
But this is an important question to ask. This is a state statute. This says, as a matter of law, we'll go back to that person when it goes over 15%. It's the rest of state statute 160, the one that we've went over and over and over. Isn't this fun? This is like reading scripture, and it comes alive the more you read it.
So when you said randomly...
As a matter of opinion, I guess.
You know that the Branson City gave us their list of who's a nightly rental, and those people got switched over, too, if we didn't know... put them in. So if they've been residential forever and they just never came and put in...
There's people out there renting right now and you don't have any clue.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And supposedly they're... they're in Branson, they're in violation.
How did the city know they were not doing that?
They've got requirements, and I guess enough neighbors must turn their friends in.
I'll keep it on the top.
But they have lists, and the only reason it came to our attention that they had these licenses was because now they are making each of those people present a no tax due. They have to come to my office, and we're looking, and we're like, we don't have a business personal property account for you. You didn't set it up. You're supposed to if you have a business. They had not. And so then we had to set up business personal property accounts for them to make it work for Branson for what they're doing.
Where's the statute that you brought out here that talks about when dealing with taxes that there's a strict constructionist view that, and I heard...
It's a Supreme Court case.
Okay, in that Supreme Court case, and it says that if it's, I mean, you didn't use the word ambiguous, if it's not clear, then it always leans toward the taxpayer.
That's right. The case is United Airlines versus State Tax Commission, 377 Southwest 2nd, 444. It's a Supreme Court of Missouri case.
Do you have a copy of that? It's in the file. Okay, I got it.
I didn't print off the whole decision. I only quoted from it. So from it are in the brief, but I didn't print off the whole decision.
Okay, is that taking it out of context?
Nope.
No, okay.
So, for example, the quote that you were probably referencing says, where any real doubt exists in the construction of a taxing statute, the law requires that it be strictly construed in favor of the taxpayer.
That's the one he has up there.
Do you have any questions, Greg?
I think Susan asked it. Do you have a definition of tourist cabin?
No, I looked up the definition of cabin, and it did reference like a small single level building in the OED or
it's
in Webster's.
It's not defined in the statute, though.
It's not defined in the statute. So you can use Webster's dictionary to look up the word cabin, or you can use the OED. Look up the word cabin. I don't believe that these luxury single-family homes, multi-story, meet the definition of a cabin.
But there probably are some that have been residential classification that charge nightly rental that if you looked at them, you say, well, that's a cabin.
It's possible. None of my clients are renting cabins, but it's possible that somebody on the lake is renting the cabin.
And that's the
interesting thing about construing statutes. The Missouri legislature drafted this, not really being able to look in the future to see how the tourist industry would develop. But we're stuck with the actual language that's in the text. We don't go to the language that we think the Missouri legislature would have chosen had they been able to foresee the development of nightly rentals.
Can they show you this definition of tourist cabin? I don't know where it's from.
Where did you get your definition of tourist cabin?
We were quickly typing in the assessor's office.
You Google it. Google is the new Webster's. This is the defining moment. If whatever comes up.
Well,
I'm sure we'll get some
insider or something like that.
Well, Oxford commas and other legal technicalities are not my area of expertise, and I'd say it's hard to make a determination on this. I like to live in the world of what's clear and reasonable, but I know that's not the world that Mr. Magnus has lived in the last 50 years, nor Mr. Davis or Mr. Akers, but to all us other lay people like to live in a different world.
Can I ask a question? So when legislators do things in the state, which would take precedent? Would it be a Supreme Court case, or would it be the statutes that are
if it gets to the courts, they're interpreting. If there's a case that is interpreting a particular statute and you're looking for meaning, then the court case is going to take precedent. I mean, the legislature. Remember Justice Scalia coming to the University of Missouri and talking about the myth of legislative intent, you know, because everybody puts all of this stuff in there to say that was the legislative intent when it was just some small part of some senator that was upset about something or maybe, and it had nothing to do with 99% of the others that agreed, but. Mm-hmm. Then it gets looked at, and they think it's legislative intent for the whole thing sometimes. But anyway, that's just one of the side issues. Tim, do you have anything else today for us, or is that pretty much
it? No, but I am sympathetic to Susan's position, because as she pointed out, she has to fit properties in one of these boxes, and when she's confronted with vague legislation that gives direction, that's no help to her.
I'm crossing my fingers that no matter what we do here, somebody will get us an answer when they take this up. But
how long does that take? But that usually takes years, right?
Who knows?
If that happens. So there needs to be some working deal until there was a point of clarity here. So, well, thank you for your time. And, Brad, sorry we made the bill longer by putting Mr. Creedon up front. Maybe you can see him about that. But, at any rate, thank you guys for taking the time to present. We truly are trying to get understanding in all of this because it's not clear cut. So,
just one more question.
You guys have a copy of this, right?
Have you, obviously, the state of Missouri hasn't addressed
the Laughlin case was cited in the Shipman case in 1968.
Confusion here.
Right.
Have you looked at any other states that have addressed this?
Choice to do this.
And they have a little bit more clear picture.
Yes, I tried to see if I could use precedent from other states to sort this out, and the problem I ran into is they don't use our same property tax statute. They would have different sets of definitions. Yeah. And so I concluded it was going to be a bumpy road that leads nowhere.
And Greg, I did the same thing. I read there's other people that have been in front of us that have provided some case law and lists and things like that, but it is difficult using other states' tax interpretations to apply it to us, and we have to go with what we've got here. And
it just seems like with you know, Airbnb, Venmo, nationwide, internationally, it would be a whole lot clearer.
I was trying to look up in Orlando what the tax appeals, in other words, try to find somebody down there who talk about how they use or how they treat these, because I know they got a ton of them in Florida, but I couldn't find in Orange County what political subdivision handles tax appeals. I'm not even sure they do it on a county level. I don't know. But I was trying to look for other places that, in fact, we've been encouraged by the Tax Commission and other people to talk to other assessors, other BOE members in other places. So, you know, we've been trying to figure that out, but haven't had much luck so far.
I have a question for Mr. Moncato.
Yeah.
I mean, since you're on the docket using Tim, but, I mean, do you own any in Stone County? No.
Do you own more than one?
In Taney County?
Right. In other words, do you guys own more than one?
Okay.
How many?
I think that's relevant.
Well, anyway, whatever you've got on here, that's the ones we're dealing with. But it's an interesting question as to when you have one versus several. So.
Thank you guys for your time. Mr. Magnus, are you here on any point of specific business?
Just
an observer. You it's been a while since you've been in the county courtroom, so you thought you'd just have to stop by. It's almost like home to you, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else on the morning docket?
We do not. Am I missing something here?
2170, did y'all
No, I don't believe
so.
We can clear up all of the Chicago title and Silverleaf. We've made agreements with them.
Talk about this afternoon?
I think they are in this afternoon.
That's this afternoon's docket. That'd be great. I think that's this afternoon, right?
So you're saying we can clear it up?
We've had another exhibit. That'll be it. They're all the values have been determined and written on here for you, so they'll be easy to do.
Very good.
Awesome.
I appreciate you guys working
on that. Which number was
that?
2021-70. It's on page 12.
We're getting it, if I can find it.
It kind of fell between Montano and 417 LLC.
All right, and you guys indicated that one was agreed upon. That's the John and Ann Roberts. You have an agreement on that?
Correct.
One.
If I can find my 26.
Which page is it?
Page 12.
Page 12.
I'm just looking at yours for that one.
That's fine.
They jumped. Yeah, they were in at $294,000. We came up with a deal yesterday. We went back. Their house was probably classified wrong, too high, so we lowered that, took some remeasurements on it, and she and I came up with 248 on the structure plus 20 on the land to take it to 268, so it would lower from 294 to 268.
And do you have some documentation showing she agreed to that? Or
I've got her phone number here that you can call her real quick if you need to.
973-5248. 6027, I believe, is what it is. Thank you. Do we have a name? Anne Marie,
that'll be her
number.
The wireless customer you are calling is not available. Please try again later.
Well, we have a potential agreement. I guess we can pass it this afternoon. Try calling if you want to take a break. Or we can do the other.
It's my understanding. I mean, Ms. Chapman, do you have a Chicago Title, is my understanding? You guys?
It's called Chicago Title and Silverleaf. It's Holiday Hills is what it is.
It's Holiday Hills, and you don't have an agreement yet with Westlake, right?
No, we never heard from them.
Westgate.
He's supposed to come in.
Westgate is Klusmeyer, is it not?
Westgate is
yes.
Klusmeyer.
Yeah, we asked him if they would do work with us, and they didn't want to. They wanted to come straight to you. So
okay.
Klusmeyer will be here at 1.
Okay.